The warriors hastily erecting the fortification couldn't have numbered much more than 2,500.
"Where are the rest?" asked Felix.
"I guess this is it, except for some stragglers."
"This couldn't... You mean you lost 3/4 of your entire force?"
Felix couldn't believe it.
"Well, we had about twice this before the transit idiocy, but the hammer did a bad job on us. Hold on here, Felix. I'll see if I can find someone for you to report to."
She trotted off down the lines. Felix watched a squad of warriors demolishing large sections of the sandy ridges on either end of the barricade to inhibit encirclement. Another group was busy leveling the maze for about 50 meters straight out in front to provide a flat killing area for the enemy to cross before reaching them. It looked, he thought, like they would be in a good spot in any normal encounter. But this was not normal. The ants were not. He shook his head briefly to clear his mind of the image of those waves and waves. He wondered how it had affected those around him. He watched them go about their duties in what seemed to be a trance-like haze. Forrest reappeared.
"Can't find anybody much. Colonel said you're with me for now, right?"
"Sure."
She went to a stack of blazers surrounded by piles of assorted bits of equipment. She picked out two, handed him one.
"This blazer's almost empty."
"Yeah,"
she replied calmly.
"I gave you the one with the juice in it. Clubs, Felix. Welcome to the Interstellar Stone Age."
"I thought we had plenty of power."
"Not for blazers, they tell me. Okay, we're the backup team for this area."
She waved an arm at an area behind the barricade, perhaps 20 meters wide.
"The procedure is to let breakthroughs alone. The line warriors ignore them. We, that's you and me, are supposed to get them as they come through. Go for the head first. If you can't reach that, try for the thorax."
"What about the eyes?"
"The eyes are good, too. Yeah, I guess you must have done this once or twice before, just to get here. Well, try not to look too bored, huh? You'll spoil it for me."
She laughed and started toward the barricade, waving for him to join her.
"Come on, we're scouting some."
He wanted to say something that matched her bravado. He wanted to laugh with her while he could, or just smile, but it was too far away from him already. Slowly, but with growing speed, he felt the engine rise, felt it gather itself and surge forward to the front of his consciousness, and once again he felt the rest of him begin to fade. They stepped across the barricade of packed sand and dropped the 2 meters to the floor of the killing area. He looked about at the scarred pattern of the pulverized dunes made by the planted explosives. The entire area held a gritty, gray-black coating that made an unpleasant crunching sound under his boots. He saw that certain areas of the sand had been shocked into something resembling glass.
"Key the command frequency," she said as they approached the maze walls. "The CO wants to know what we see, before everybody else does."
He nodded to himself and made the connection. She stopped when they reached the edge of the maze, gazing back and forth at the various possibilities.
"We need some height,"
she mumbled, as if to herself. She picked a narrow gorge that rose steeply and began to climb. He followed silently. They followed the passage through several turns, always rising. Around a sharp bend, they came to an abrupt dead end. She turned and looked back in the direction they had come, as if she could see through the walls.
"Okay, this is probably far enough. Up we go."
This audiobook is continued on Disc 2.